A reading from Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord had commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people. Take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile. And go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Moses called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" It's easy to find oneself asking that question. Our world is changing so fast. Our churches are not as full as they once were. We remember our friends who have died or moved or changed churches, and we mourn their loss. The average age of our ELCA congregations keeps getting higher. We feel the low attendance in Sunday school, and our hearts grow heavy at the lack of a high school youth group. Christianity does not have as prominent a role as it in our nation's culture as it has in the past. I've been hearing stories lately about how sports teams would not hold practice on Wednesday nights because that was a church program night. Today, Sundays are full of sports games, and I don't see that changing. Study after study shows the decline in church attendance and in people who call themselves religious, let alone Christian or Lutheran. Our buildings are beautiful and have a rich history, but we're struggling to find ways to make them more important to the community. And beyond that, there are so many tragic things happening in our world. Disasters and war and pollution and death. Just this week, we had a school shooting in Santa Clarita in our own backyard. And we get so much information about it all the time. It's easy to get overwhelmed. We, as the church and individuals, are having to ask hard questions about why church is important and what our place is in the world. As we look around at our lives, at our city, at our nation, at the world, it becomes easy to start asking, is God among us or not? Like us, the Israelites had good reason for asking that question. They tend to get a bad reputation for being whiny and short-sighted, for forgetting what God had just done for them in Egypt. But they were in a place without water. It wasn't a matter of discomfort or impatience. Their situation was life-threatening. They were afraid God had abandoned them. that God had freed them from slavery in Egypt only to let them die of thirst in the desert. What do you do when the world has changed so much? And not only your way of life, but your very life is at stake. I would be pretty upset at God too. Fortunately, God is big enough to handle my anger. And even more fortunately, God is not in the habit of starting things without finishing them. God doesn't set things in motion and then step away hands off. God did not abandon the Israelites. God tells Moses, "Take your staff, you know, the one I used to work so many wonders in Egypt. Remember that? I parted the waters for you when things looked so much more dire than they are now. I saved you, and I will save you again. Take your staff. Take the leaders of the people. Let them know what I have done for you all. Go to the rock. I will be there with you. Strike the rock with your staff, just as you did the sea. And water will flow from the rock. You will not die of thirst. I am providing for you." God didn't need the staff in order to provide water to the Israelites. God created all the water in the universe. But the staff was a symbol of what God had done for them in the past. So what symbols do we have of God's faithfulness? How do we remember times God has provided for us? Here are four examples out of many. The first is this. Today, as you know, we are celebrating Thank Offering Sunday. We are bringing our offerings of thankfulness for what God has done in our lives. Again, this tradition goes back at least to the 1800s, if not before, with women saving up money throughout the year to support ministries. They set aside money throughout the year to show their gratitude. We can walk in the footsteps of our mothers, grandmothers, and other women ancestors of faith. Our offering can be a symbol of remembering how God has worked in our lives and the lives of those before us. Another symbol is this. God made us God's children in baptism. As I told the children, whenever you touch water, whether it be at the beach or doing dishes or taking a shower, you can remember that God chose you. God doesn't start things. God doesn't plan to finish. God doesn't let go of people. You are God's beloved always. And another symbol is this. Jesus feeds us with his body and blood. God knows we are physical beings with bodies that need nourishment. So God meets us in bread and wine. Jesus nourishes us and makes us more like him. He strengthens us to become little Christs in the world. And though we're not receiving communion today, because for the sake of good order, pastoral interns do not preside over communion, but when you eat lunch today, remember that God feeds us with God's own body, and let that knowledge sustain you until we come together again for that meal. And another symbol is this, the cross. Jesus' death and resurrection go hand in hand. One without the other is not the gospel. It is not good news. But together, they become in the symbol of the cross, a reminder that we are called to a death like Jesus's, and we will also be given a resurrection like Jesus's. This goes not only for us as individuals, but for the church. Our churches may die. Our worship may look really different. Our role in society may change. But the church, the body of Christ, lives on. The Holy Spirit does not cease to work when our attendance goes down. Jesus says, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there." God is a living God of a living church, stirred to action by a living Holy Spirit. We have a God who brings water from a rock. We have a God who creates symbols like Moses' staff and baptism and communion and the cross to remind us of what God has done for us in the past. Not so that we can regret what we no longer that we were no longer what we were, but so that we can look forward to the future, knowing God is active, working with us. And God empowers us to envision with the Holy Spirit what God is doing in the world. So, when we start to ask ourselves, is the Lord among us? Our answer can be a resounding yes. Amen.